Don. Frank, welcome to the dynamic duo.
It's nice to be with you, Jim.
I've read a number of pieces of yours, and anyone I should mention can go on Google and just enter Frank Morales, M-O-R-A-L-E-S, and you'll find a lot of really good stuff, including some I'm going to talk about. One is entitled Ground Zero, another The Provocateur State, a third about U.S. military civil disturbance planning. And when you talk about disturbance, believe me, reading what Frank has to say is very disturbing in many different ways. Frank, I'd like to read just a paragraph from your piece about Ground Zero, which I found very affecting. When you were called to come down there to help out, you took an evening shift.
Yes.
And here you were talking about with a first responder who was really sick and spitting up blood and popping antibiotics, and how the wives of his friends buried somewhere beneath a burning toxic earth were calling him and asking him if he'd found their husbands. Recognizing that I was somewhat overwhelmed by the spectacle of devastation all around us, he said to me, "Father, you don't see any chairs or tables, no desks, do you? All you see is steel and earth. Look at the earth," he said. "The people are in it." As he said this, he motioned me to examine the soil that I was standing in. It was rich and moist, enriched with the ground-up bodies of the dead. My feet inside my boots began to tingle. At this point, recognizing that I had truly arrived in hell, I was moved to utter in his presence, possibly for his benefit, "Hey, that if I had somebody in this mess, I'd be pissed as shit. Yeah, I'd want to get those motherfuckers." At which point, he put his hand on my shoulder and whispered, "Hey, it's not about that. You want to know something?" Drawing near to my ear, "Bush and Bin Laden have the same banker."
Yeah.
Stunning.
And people have asked me, you know, "Frank, did he really say that?" And I assure you, everything I have in that piece is as it heard.
Frank, this is just so moving. I mean, there were 1,100 bodies that weren't recovered ever. Were no part of them.
The medical examiner's office here in New York lists the, because I was interested in looking at, and I'm not sure that it's been sufficiently examined, you know, the literal evidence of the bodies. In other words, exactly what happened to those people, and the medical examiner here in New York classifies those roughly 1,100 bodies, I think it's might slightly more than that, as vaporized.
Yes.
These, you know, with the DNA of some of the people in the blood of some of the other people and so on and so forth. It didn't strike me at the time when I was there performing last rites, which was shortly after the bombings took place, but I soon became aware that it was not really feasible that these bodies would be vaporized with the mere collapse of the floors on top. You know, one logically, in common sense, would assume that that many people trapped underneath collapsing floors, you know, the great majority would wind up at the base of the building, that you wouldn't have this phenomena of people, and let alone chairs and desks and everything else being totally vaporized. So as I said, when I first was there, and I was struck with how little debris, relatively speaking, I mean, I expected 30 stories of debris, that everything seemed to be pulverized, and I was kind of struck that I was so overwhelmed with the devastation and so on and so forth that I really didn't factor in, as I have since, that these buildings certainly were not brought down simply as a result of jet fuel.
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, Judy Wood, who is perhaps the leading expert studying what happened to the World Trade Center, has estimated that there ought to have been about 12.5% of the mass there in the rubble pile. For example, in Building 7, which was a 47-story building that, as you know, came down at 5:20 in the afternoon,
right,
having been hit by no planes and having no jet fuel fires. There were anywhere from 5 to 7 stories there, about 12% of a 47-story building. In the case of these 210-story buildings, however, they were basically reduced to ground level. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah. The North Tower was referred to when I was there as a 2,000-degree pit because it wasn't even above ground. At that point, it was simply a pit. And the cherry picker, which was emblazoned with an American flag, which had an image of a Native American superimposed over the flag, just for historical accuracy's sake, on the cherry picker itself, was literally going down into the pit, which was very difficult because of the heat that was being generated from what I'd come to learn was molten steel at the base of this pit. You didn't even have, you know, in that case it was below ground level. So, I mean, I remember that quite vividly, and the comment that you read, I just wanted to bring out to people it was an honest rendition of what occurred there, but I tried to portray the emotions that anyone would go through. You know, I sat there and, you know, I came in to do that task, to do last rites, and you went through a sort of a series of concentric circles of security, including the National Guard people at the very end, and so on. And then when I was finally literally with the guys who were moving steel and traipsing around all of this debris, late at night, I just got this sense, like, man, this thing is really, you know, and yeah, I could see, you know, if I knew who did this, I'd really want to get him. I mean, I was kind of,
yeah.
But then I learned, and this was the lesson for me there, was that the prevailing ethic at that moment, and for a lot of people, and I know there were a lot of us who kind of weren't dealing on this revenge, let's go kill somebody kind of level, but they were as far removed from that as one could be, because when you were so close to that, when you could, you know, literally, as I said, the guys are walking around with 1 pound bags, little plastic seal up red bags where they were collecting, you know, inch or less than inch pieces of body, or what they thought were pieces of body, and they're walking around picking these up with their hands. You lost the momentum to carry out, you know, that which was in front of you to somebody else. You didn't go there. You didn't, and this is what people don't understand. It's very easy to sit back, and if you're not immersed in that kind of killing, that kind of death, and wish it on someone else. But it's not that way when you're situated in it. There's a different kind of a logic that takes place there. So the lesson that I got from these guys was quite different, and it's a fact that this guy said to me, and another guy later on, I don't know if I put it in the piece, I may have said that, you know, he was commenting about what was going on, and I was saying, yeah, this is like, wow, this is really destructive. He says, well, look, this is rich people fighting over the oil, and we're caught in the middle.
And we're caught in the middle. It's there indeed, Frank. Stand by. We'll be right back with my very special guest, Frank Morales. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.